Now, people that interrogate you and brainwash you, they're trying to control your will. They're trying to seduce you. The problem is many people have given heed to seducing spirits and also doctrines of devils. The seducing spirits caused them to, it deceived them and brainwashed them and lured them into a way of life that cannot ever work for them. It causes them to be a pawn of Satan. And the only way to stop it is the love of God. Love your brother. How did Jesus fulfill the law? He loved everybody. How did he defeat Satan? He loved God. He loved his word. Every time Satan spoke, Jesus spoke the word and countered his attack. Satan's persuasion is dead persuasion. That's why if you're born of God, like John was saying, and everybody say, well, that means you won't habitually sin. No, it don't. I'm sorry. I beg to differ. Let's go right back to verse 10. You love your brother, there's no way in the world. There's no occasion of stumbling. And that's what people read past. If you get the whole revelation, if you receive the revelation that John is giving, verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. So if God's love is in you, and you fill your heart with the word, and Christ is formed in you, you can't sin. That's what he's saying right here. He said you can't sin. It's impossible. You can't worship God, love God, fill your heart with the word, and just go out there and rob a bank or lust after somebody. You can't do it. It's just not going to happen. But if you're just getting started, you're born again into the kingdom of God. Even a person that's born again with that first love, they have resilience against the worldly influences. That because their mind is not renewed, they might do something. That's why preachers say, well, you won't habitually sin. No, that's a different. You're born again and you got to grow just like a baby falls sometime. But see, when you grow up, when Christ is formed in you, you're not going to go out there and cheat. That's just not going to happen. It never happens. I can prove it. Kenneth Hagin taught people faith. All right. And he had a meeting, and the glory cloud came. And every time it came down, people when the cloud touched them, they fall out. If anybody's in sin, when the glory comes, they will die. Remember the Holy of Holies. The priest had to tie bells on his garment at the end of his garment. Tie a rope real good around his foot, around his leg. And then he'd enter into the Holy of Holies. And as long as they heard the bells ring, they knew he was alive. If they stopped hearing those bells, the other priests would drag him out because he died. When the glory cloud comes, you're not in sin. There's no sin in you. We were sinners. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but we got saved. And if you fill your heart with the love of God, the word of God is the knowledge of love. I received that from a word of the Lord in a song. I said, Lord, this song needs something else. He said, and I heard him say, the power of life is the love we live. The more we love, the more we live. The word of God is the knowledge of love. The more we love, we live in him. So the word of God is the knowledge of love. You fill your heart with the word of God, you'll know all the mechanics of love. You'll know the depths of love. You begin to love like God loves. And when that happens, you have positive abundance. That gives you foundation to build your life upon. You won't be double-minded anymore. The reason people stumble and fall is because they haven't made up their mind. They haven't renewed their mind. And you can't renew your mind against your will. When your will is to do God's will, your mind will automatically become renewed as you study and receive God's word. And we need to hear it because that we need to counter the negative influences. Now, I'm going to say this. If there were no negative influences around us, we would grow free. But we can do it anyway, even through a challenge. So it can seem like we won't normally sin, but people sin because they fail somewhere to renew their mind. You can't renew your mind against your will. That's not going to happen. The word, you have to be willing and obedient to grow in the Lord. You have to want it, receive it, and act on it as a way of life. It's not against your will. God don't brainwash people. He don't hijack your life. You do what you want. But you want to do God's word if you love him. If you love your brother, you want to do things that pertain to life and godliness. From the moment I got saved, I really wanted to do what pertained to life and godliness. And I put forth effort to learn. I studied what Jesus said. But the wicked are opposite. They have negative bondage. They feel like they can do whatever they want when they want. Nobody's going to fool me. But they already fooled. The devil already deceived them. And it's a sad thing. Because the God who loves them, because they rejected Jesus, he has to come back and judge them. And that's where we're at. And that's about to happen. See, when the rapture happened, that's just the beginning of the judgment. The rapture is a rescue for God. It's a judgment against the world. God is taking away what's preserving the world. And then he's going to judge it for rejecting Christ. Why would he do that? Because the Lord loves us. If you don't receive Jesus, your sins are going to mount up. You have no positive bondage, or the positive bondage you do have from good influences is weakened. Without the example of God's people on the earth will rot. It will implode against itself. This world, this fallen world, can't survive without a godly influence. It will be consumed and destroyed. Did you know that rogue planets exist? Something happened to the sun in their solar system and they got threw out of orbit. And it happens because the people that live there sin. Even in our own solar system, Rahab was broken in pieces. Sin. The people that were on it, sin. That's probably where Lucifer was when he made his five statements. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And so on and so forth. He'll be like the Most High. Sin. When he got kicked out of heaven, actually, he got kicked out of the kingdom of God. Lucifer was on a planet. He was on the ground when he said that. He was on a planet. He had to ascend. There were five realms that he would have to overcome to be like the Most High. So he was more like Adam than, but he was an archangel. I don't know all the details yet. I just know what the Bible revealed. But he was more like Adam than like Jesus is. He was nothing like God. He was not. He was holy at one time. But he crossed the line. And sin don't just stop with you having fun in sin. It destroys you. It consumes you. It turns you into something that you really don't want to be. That's what negative bondage will do to you. You're free to break God's laws that hold you together, and you become something else. And within, on the first day, after Adam ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin began to work so bad that men's thoughts was only evil continually. Now let's look at Genesis 6. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. God had to cut our lives back because people proved not that they couldn't live in sin that long. Now this is why I say that. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see that? That's what happens if you're in sin. When the longer you live in sin, the worse it gets. And then in verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So God had to destroy him. You know the story. But why men allowed the giants that came, that were born unto the women, they allowed an evil influence into this realm that hijacked their world. And it didn't stop with a good time. It got worse and worse and worse. To the imagination of the thoughts of men's heart and women was only evil continually. Whenever you see God make a judgment because of something people did, it's a reason for it. And he assessed everything. He evaluates everything before he make a judgment like that. He reduced man's life down to 120 years. That's the only way we would survive all the covenant days. And we had, what, 5 more to go? Well, then, this would have been Adam lived 930 years. That was Sunday. After that 1,000 years was up, it was Monday. So in Monday, when God made, it was Monday when the flood happened. You know, that 1,000 years. It was Wednesday when Jesus came. It was Wednesday when Jesus died for it. The day of the week, it was Wednesday when he died for us. He was in the grave, He went to the lower parts of the earth for 3 days, 3 nights. He arose on Sunday. So, think about it. In the covenant week is 1,000 days. 1,000 days is day to the Lord. Our days is modeled after the restoration week. But the covenant week is more important. And that's why the Lord didn't want them to forget the Sabbath. Sabbath is the covenant week. Jesus is going to return on the Sabbath. This could possibly be the beginning of it, but Jesus is going to see on the third day he raises up. that's a little aside I went on. But the main thing is positive bondage gives us the ability to see these good and wonderful things. You know, God loves us so much. He's good. He's good. He's consistent in his love for us. And he wants us to know him. The word of God will enable us to know him at our own will. The army of heaven is a volunteer army. Everybody that that's in the kingdom of God, they chose to be there. They want to be there. And here it is. And we said, we saw the light, we came. We heard the word, we grew. Let's look at Hosea 6, and I'm going to close with this if God will. Verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Now watch this very closely now. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. After 2 days, he will revive us. See, Jesus rose. That was a Wednesday. You still got Thursday and Friday. In the covenant week now. In the covenant week. He died for us. After 2 days, he rose up. Right? When he rose up, if you count from that moment in time, 2,000 years later, on the third day, he raised us up. That's the first resurrection. Dead in Christ will rise first, those that remain. This is true, folks. See, we're going to be caught up, not on the Friday evening, but on the Saturday first watch. And he's going to do the millennial reign. Now, there are 7 years that's got to deal, you know, that for Israel to deal with. Now, I don't know all the details yet. John and Daniel, they sealed it. I'm not trying to unseal it. The Holy Spirit will seal it when it's supposed to be sealed. But what I got is that his return is imminent. And I want people to know. See, God loves you. He welcomes you. But he won't go against, he don't save people against their will. And love has a positive bondage. And if you understand that, you can use it to your advantage. You can stay in the love of God. You can stay in the confines of love. And you're safe. You're in the kingdom of God. In order for Satan to defeat your life, he's got to get you to choose to cross the line so he can hijack your life again. There's so many ways he tried to do this. If you read Colossians 1, that's a perfect example. They were doing well. They were thriving in the things of God. And the devil said, no way, I got to stop this. So he tried to get them to go back to salvation by works, circumcision, feast days. I want to say something right now. We fulfill the moral law by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we enter it. And by the love of God. We got saved, we're in the kingdom of God, and we walk in his love. That's how we fulfill the moral law, just like Jesus did. He loved his brother. He loved his brother. He loved his sister. He loved everybody. He went about doing good, knowing people didn't always like him, trust him, and want to be like him. But he loved them anyway. At one time, he healed them all and delivered them of all the evil, demonic possessions and everything that follows with it, even being a lunatic. People out of their mind, they were healed too. He did good to everybody. That was a way of life. Then he died for everybody. Then he asked God to forgive them and not hold it to their charge. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They blind as a bat. They don't see. And the Lord spared them. If Jesus didn't do that, some people would have probably died that day. The judgment hammer of God didn't fall because Jesus prayed for them. And some of the people got saved and they repented. Thank God for everyone. I love my brothers and sisters. I don't care what they did in their past. I'm not interested in what you did in your past. I love you now. I love you before you got saved. I love everybody that's doing wrong today. I love them too. I just want them to hear what God has to say, so they'll have a chance to be my brother and sister in Christ. Now, the devil tried to get the Colossians to get in the, back over into salvation by work. Now, the moral law that they were trying to impose, I mean, the ceremonial law that the devil was using the Jews that were blind to get the Christians that was thriving in Colossians 1. The ceremonial law, such as circumcision, feast days, things like that, Sabbath day recognition. When you believe on Jesus, you fulfill the ceremonial law too. Because those were the signs that pointed to Jesus. The law was designed, the moral law, you couldn't keep it. It was designed to show you that you can't keep it, because the strength of sin is the law. Sin has no strength without the law. But you give man a law, now he knows, and he can't keep it. So, hey, Lord, I need your help to keep this. That's what it was designed to do. I need a Savior. Job acknowledged that we needed a daysman. Job acknowledged that we needed a daysman to his friends. How did he know that? He knew it. Old Testament man knew it. Before the law, he knew it. Impressive. Great things can happen when you love God. It was a mystery, but he knew it. And he defeated Satan as an Old Testament saint. How did he know it? Well, Abraham was his grandfather. Isaac was his grandfather. Isaac was Job's father. Jacob, his grandfather. Isaac was his great-grandfather. And Abraham was his great-great-grandfather. And he knew that story. But he knew it for himself. I've read all the writings. I read the writings of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, things that happened in Genesis. But he was devoted to God. He loved him. He feared him. But he knew that. He knew he needed help to do it God's way. He even made a covenant with his eyes. Love has a positive bondage to it. And Satan couldn't take it from him. The Lord told me this, that Job feared God. But watch this now. Now, I wrote this on a Taco Bell bag way back in the 80s when God gave it to me. It had to be between 80, maybe early 90s, 89 or so. I was preaching at Steve's house after the church had split, so it had to be after 88. But anyway, the Lord gave me this message saying that Job feared God. And Satan thought that Job feared judgment. But Job feared God, and he greatly feared evil, which gave Satan, opened the door for Satan to attack him because of his great fear. But Job didn't fear judgment. He feared evil. And he also feared God. But when he feared evil, that gave Satan a chance to attack him with what he feared. So Job opened the gate, not God. Satan said, you got him hedged about. Job opened the gate. That's why God said, he's in your hands. Satan didn't even realize it. Satan's not perfect. And the Lord showed me that. I couldn't live without him. But he put it together for me. When you're trying to learn things from God, you're receiving his love, you're receiving his word, and then God, the Holy Spirit, can work with you, show you what you don't see. If you receive the word of God in your heart, the Holy Spirit can cause you to understand it. He'll put it together for you. You don't have to try to memorize. Just try to learn. Read it and receive it. Receiving it is the first step in learning it. Don't try to learn it like you do a math book. Receive it and have faith in it as you read it, and the Holy Spirit will give you, he will enlighten you to it. And I'll close with that. The Lord loves us, folks. The awakening is here. People are being awakened, and they're loving God more than ever before. This revival is the greatest revival. It's more than a revival. It's an awakening. People that are learning now, they're not going to backslide. They're going to know what to watch out for. And there are many people that didn't know what to watch out for, and they still didn't fall. They walked in the trap and walked through the trap because they had love in them. They had positive bondage. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.